will call the meeting to order, the Yorkville Park Board meeting, Thursday, January 12th, 2017. It is a little bit late. We're about 6:39, 6:40, and I will call roll. Deb Horaz, absent. Amy Sesich, here. Mark Dilday, absent. Dan Lane?
Here.
Dean Wilberg?
Here.
Sash Demovic?
Here.
All right, so we have quorum. Introduction of guests. All I see right now is Tim Evans, Director of Park and Recreation, and Shay Reitmus is Superintendent of Recreation. Is Scott coming or no?
He is. He's just finishing up. His girls' basketball game. He's on his way.
It looks like Joel Frieder is our liaison to Park. Park Board is not here either. Do we know if he's
coming?
He will
not be
in
there.
Okay.
No. He can go down there.
Okay.
You're more important,
Dan. Oh. Well, then maybe I'll see you in front
of the time. Any public comment? There's no public. Let the record show that. Presentations? No presentations this time. Approval of minutes. We have December 8th, 2016. Please review, and we do need to take a motion and a second to approve.
I move the minutes be approved.
I'll second that. I read through them before this, and they're very nice about it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. Minutes approved for December 8th, 2016. Bills review. Please go over bill list January 12th, 2017. Any comments or questions?
I'd say one of the things right out of the gate, the first bill is the open lands. There's one for $5,000. That is part of land matching for Bristol Bay 65.
Okay.
That's our last payment. We've taken over the deed for that now. So just as kind of how grant works is when we got the grant from the state, it was $400,000. We have to match it with either cash or with land that we're bringing in as recreation somewhere else. And so we had taken over lands that actually we were able to use for Riverfront and for Bristol Bay, or for a Bristol Bay grant. So both Riverfront and Bristol Bay now, because the grant was reinstated, we have the deed to that. We won't have to be making this $1,000 a month payment anymore for them to hold it. So that's completed. And just we can talk about the grant discussion, but I did send an email out just on the update of where we're at, where are the grants right now, where we're going. And we can discuss that when we're section comes up at the park board meeting here. It must be because your thing is too small.
It must be.
Because it comes up really fine.
Yes, it's
I will strike that last comment from the board. That is a personal comment. Tim has no way of knowing.
I'm sure that it was not even her.
I'm not.
It's
fine.
I'm so juvenile.
No, I understand everything.
It must be that liberalism to me.
It sounded good to me.
Wait a minute.
Not based on that.
All right. Any questions or comments on the bill list?
No, I looked through it. There was really nothing huge on that.
Shocking.
The only one I was questioning about is the Riverfront Park Improvements Engineering Enterprises. What was that for?
Well, I mean, with EEI, I mean, there's a general contract that the city pays to them, but then there are expenses that are not within that contract that we have to pay. So they were assisting us with not only the playground that was being installed,
I think it's reasonable,
but they were also, they're continuing to assist us once we get back on track with that, with the canoe, kayak shoot, as well as the fishing pier. So they were doing a lot of behind the scenes work on that for us. We'll start seeing a lot more bills from them here in the future, just related to Bristol Bay 65. They're going to help us out at the skate park. So depending on where it falls in with the city contract, there are times that there are things that fall outside of the day on their own. And that kind of goes same. You'll see some fees on here related to the attorney. That happens as well.
The next one I was going to say is the printing was $11,129. Does that include all the, or is that deduction?
That includes all the design, and then there's about additional
$4,000 there, $3,900, that goes in for just the postage. But we have to pay that ahead of time.
Did you have somebody, advertise? Is that taken away?
Oh, no. That's all at a different one. So
this is the advertising subtraction.
Correct. So let's say
it's about $15,000 for a catalog to go out, and we're collecting about $7,000.
Yeah, so it's
not quite, but right around half. I mean, we're getting close. So, I mean, that's the goal, is to get that up to half. Yeah. I mean, what I'd ideally like to do with the catalog is go more to where if it became such in demand that we're basically selling like 3 or 4 ads at a certain price.
Absolutely.
And that's
actually
it.
Come
instead of having one page with 10 ads on there, we're really getting to a point to where we're saying, you know, here's our goal, is to get half of the cover, that we have enough demand that businesses would say, well, I want a whole page, and we're only going to sell 4 pages, and that's it. I mean, that's kind of what a lot of park districts do, is they just sell 2, 3, 4 big pages, and then that's it. But it's definitely been a great addition. Shays and Moon have done a great job of getting sponsors.
And I think if they see it, it's, they get their money back, and they feel that it's going to be good for them, more people are going to do it too.
It's an easier sell, because instead of come spell a special event, which is a one day thing, it's gone.
Right, this is an hour.
This is, everybody gets the catalog, it's hitting beyond the Yorkville area.
Right.
It's online. This isn't something you can throw away, you keep it.
Sure.
So businesses definitely see a huge value in it.
I think I just did my numbers for this whole year, the last 3 catalogs, and I think it was like 41% of it was covered.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And it looked wrong.
Yes. And I think before that, in 2013, I looked at it, and like we brought in like $5,000 total, and now we're like up to like 18.
That's awesome.
So,
congratulations.
Yeah.
Another big purchase was about a lot of infield mix, just getting ready for the season. So there's about $6,000 spent there. Scott's kind of trying to buy some things right now to get ready for March. Every year teams are wanting to get out there earlier and earlier, so we got to have the equipment ready to go once the weather kind of breaks.
Sure.
Okay, anything else?
Nope.
On to budget reports. November 2016. Tim, remind me again, what's our fiscal year? Or what's our budget year? For what month?
May 1st through the end of April. So, the easiest one to look at on this is... it's not these, it's more of a row. So, it comes like this.
Yeah, that's the one I was looking
this
at.
This is the other one, and we got over. If you ever have any questions, that more gets into every little line item in details. This kind of gives you more of a general overview, and it's a little easier to read just because it also has last year's fiscal year. So, one thing to kind of remember in our fiscal year is, we're always like kind of, so fiscal year 17, we're finishing this year in April. May 1st actually begins fiscal year 18. So when you look at that sheet right now, in the white is what's current, in the gray is what's last year's, what you're comparing. So the good thing is, just through November, now we're behind 2 months. I mean, we're much more up to date, Shane and I, we get reports every week. But you can see that our Yasco year to date in revenue, when it comes to charges for services, so that's actually everything we're producing for the most part. That's all of our athletics.
The 1.6, are you talking about?
No, so charges for services, the first 3 or 4 line items. And then it'll say total taxes, which is really more than total revenue.
The 337.
And then last year we brought 307. So just in November, we're up $30,000 compared to last year. So this is where we're at.
Year-to-date actual.
Oh, I thought it was here. Okay.
And then this is what's budgeted.
Okay,
and then this is what we were at last year.
Okay.
So.
That's good. $30,000 ahead. Almost $30,000.
And then you kind of go out. We do have other revenue. You go into reimbursements. We have rental income. And that comes from baseball tournaments, renting the baseball fields, things of that nature. You have park rentals, which is more like weddings and things of that nature when people come or they want to reserve it for a birthday party. You have hometown days. Sponsorship and donations, that's the catalog. And then you have miscellaneous income and transfer. Some of that has to do with, we have our accounts, that's interest that we've made and things of that nature. And then we also, sometimes people will randomly give a donation. We also have right now where money that one of the ways we took over Hometown Days is the guy running the finances, when it was volunteers, had stolen money from the Hometown Days account. Mm-hmm. And so periodically, as must be as part of his judgment, we'll get a check from the county that, you know, that will go into that, so that he must be paying off whatever the plea deal that he came with.
Sure.
So it's an example. And then you got all kind of the expenses down below. Mm-hmm. And so overall, we're budgeted for a $142,000 deficit this year. Mm-hmm. At the end of November, we had a $126,000 surplus. When you compare it to last year, we had $133,000. So we're about $7,000 behind, and that a lot has to do with we added a park employee that was not budgeted for at the beginning, kind of in August. So that's where that disparity, clearly a discrepancy, is coming from, is that he's eaten up a lot of money that we didn't budget for.
Yeah, but we're not here to make money. We're here to make money, but I mean,
correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you don't want to. You want it to be able to fund itself. So
well, in a sense,
we're not here to lose money. But
so,
but your goal is to. Yes. Yeah,
so at the end of November, we're running very similar to last year's pace. And last year's pace, we put a lot of money in this building that we have budget for. We bought the playground. So, as you'll see, that's one of the reasons on coming up here is we're trying to make a large expenditure on a lawnmower. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be some things for the recreation side coming along here.
Excuse me.
So, we're definitely still running strong. I mean, in Hometown Days was one that did very well this year. We were up $10,000-$11,000 compared to last year. So,
we should continue.
Things are going very well, at least on the, you know, on the revenue side, on the budget side with everything.
Good.
But you are right. It's great to be self-sufficient. Is that possible?
We're still getting a transfer from the city.
Correct.
Right.
The dream would be, kind of like the catalog, the dream would be to pay for recreation.
Right.
Like, to where you could go into a meeting and say, recreation pays itself. And that's benefits like our full-time staff.
Sure.
That they pay themselves, that you almost want to take that off the table, where Parks is always going to need a transfer just because they don't collect any revenue, and every time we take on more land, they have more land that they have to maintain, or more playgrounds and things like that. But that would be the real goal, and that's one of the things Shane and I have been working on, is how can we make enough revenue, at least to say, our recreation staff's covered. So that if you go into a budget meeting, you can explain.
If we go in a direction with the new building, maybe we
can. But we're exploding. I mean, our preschool is just, I mean, we're having a ton of people away. Athletics, I mean, it's just, everything just keeps going up and up and up. And that's if you read the paper, I mean, the city was, what, up 151 homes this year that were permitted? I mean, that's huge.
I didn't even know where a couple of those subdivisions were, to be honest.
Sure.
Like, the ones near the bottom, I don't know where they
are. One's on Kennedy.
I have to look them up.
Pulte ones on Kennedy.
The Kennedy ones are the Pulte ones.
So, the city's definitely growing. Mm-hmm. So, and we see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's nice to see that there's investment, too, from the commercial side. You know, O'Reilly, Sherwin-Williams, you know, a couple other places. That's a good sign.
Yeah, but I hear the taxes.
Dunkin' Donuts.
That's why it's not growing as it should be.
No, we're fine.
The taxes are pretty high.
No, our property taxes.
Which is why Marketplace is not going well, because the taxes, I was told, the guy that was owned the NCG said, if I knew the taxes were this high, I wouldn't have moved here. So that place is not building up at all, in the Marketplace there. And then I heard that what's-his-face is moving out now and going to Sugar Grove.
I really do not know.
So they're just, it's not building as it should be because the taxes are so high.
So, but overall, we're doing very well.
But I think it's thanks to you and your staff. You got a really, really good staff. And your bare bones staff. I mean, the people that you hired are really wonderful people that work hard. And everybody, even my wife, when we see people working, there's no complaints. And they're just, you have a very, very good staff.
Hustle and they do it well. I haven't met everyone or even close, but, you know, you could tell.
Really, you do a great job.
Thank you very much.
All right. Anything else on that? Old business, recreation program facility discussion.
Push that until Scott gets here.
Oh,
please.
Wait for Scott.
I know he said he'd be here shortly, so.
Do we want to wait for the Riverfront Park stuff too, or no? Riverfront Park and Bristol Bay grant update discussion. Is that you?
Yes.
Start a new business.
Yeah, we'll come back. Yeah. And if he's not here by the time we get through this, then we'll just go to it. I did send out an email. Did everybody get it?
Mm-hmm.
Just on where we're at.
Yeah.
So we will have next week, the Terracon is coming back out to do additional testing throughout the park. Scott and I went with them just to pick out. So we picked out about six additional areas from Robin's place, the ice cream place, all the way to the playground, just to make sure we don't have any other problems.
Oh, the entire park, not just where the...
No, because if...
Foundation was late.
Yes, yes, okay. Just to kind of make sure. We don't believe so, just from the initial testing, the farther west we went, the less how bad the soil got better. So, I mean, they don't believe that it's going to get worse going west. So going from the Akshak towards Robbins, because just from the area they did it, the soil was better, the samplers, than it was closer.
Was there a difference just within the bounds of the playground itself?
Yes, okay. Yes.
Better as you went west.
Yeah, so, but we want to do some near, I mean, we really believe it's concentrated to this one area, that somehow it's either something over time or whatever that is just concentrated to this one area, but... If we decide that this area is really not feasible for us to put the playground in there, I mean, one of the options is to take half the parking lot, put it there, and just expand parking down now and where the playground would have gone. So we want to test over there before
we... Excuse me, half of the Akshak parking?
No, Whitewater ice cream parking.
Oh.
Because we would move the parking or the playground closer to the where the parking lot is now.
Yeah, the playground would probably go like so.
Oh, between the pavilion and
yes, that
oh,
parking
interesting.
Lot.
Uh-huh.
So, which would be great.
For the businesses would be great.
Yeah.
What about this area here to the west of the current playground site? Between there and the bridge.
Well, I mean,
is that enough?
Well, you have a couple issues. One, a lot. Once you start going past what we've two main issues. There's one, the land starts to go like this.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a real problem.
Yeah.
And two, we're now in the floodplain there, too.
Oh, so
we have to avoid the floodplain. So once you get past the bridge going west, now you're taking out things. You've got a couple shelters there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the concrete patio.
Okay.
And now that we've started to do bands, we kind of, there's that open grass area there now. We kind of like to keep that.
That is nice.
That's a lot of
casual seating and everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then it seemed like the playground, that's a good area because, yes, when... We do have events. It does get busy down there. But I think a lot of the times it'll be a good thing for businesses that are there to have the playground a little bit closer to where the ice cream. You could go, okay, hey, guys, let's get ice cream. The playground's right here. It's not all the way down at the other end and things of that nature. So we're doing additional testing before we actually install it to make sure, okay, this area is good. We're going to go ahead and move forward and put the playground in.
Mm-hmm.
But because this has put us behind... Bristol Bay has now become our priority, and so, I mean, we're going to be guns a-blazing with that come March, really, is that, you know, we're working with the engineers to get the skate park done, and I kind of gave a list of where we're at with the skate park that we'll hold a final meeting kind of at the end of February for the public. If anybody wants to come and have some comments, we have some initial conceptual designs that we've had made from a meeting we had 2-3 years ago, and then we will... get designs finalized in March. We will send it out for RFPs to have companies submit requests for proposals. We'll bring them back to you guys in April, hopefully get something approved to City Council April, May, have City Council sign off on it. We'd like to have a skate park done by, you know, the end of July, beginning of August. And then Scott's staff throughout the summer will be working out there on all the other amenities, like the parking lot and the lighted volleyball court and that. So depending on the timing, if we can get going, Scott and I have talked about that we'd still like to get the playground up maybe in September, October again this year. It's kind of the same thing, trying to have another park build September, October, and trying to get it up then.
Mm.
But we need to get Bristol Bay done. We really don't want to ask for another extension, and we have till June of next year, 2018. Because we're already going to have to ask an extension for Riverfront Park. We'd like to be able to just ask for one park and not two of them. So that's kind of where we're at with that.
Tim, with a recent demo on those properties on the south side of Hydraulic.
Yes.
And I know that's private property, right?
Yes.
Does that, in the long-term sense, open up any possibility to move some of this parking off the riverfront itself? And
I mean, I personally can't answer that. I can ask our city administrator.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's private property.
Well, I mean,
unless the city's willing to.
I didn't expect an answer, but I'm just thinking.
Yeah, if the city's willing to. I mean,
but aren't we putting up a lot more parking there too in the diagonal, then all the way back by Yak Shack?
Well, when you walk down past the bridge, there's already some handicap parking that pours in. Yeah. That will extend all the way down to the Yak Shack, and then we'll pave in all around the front and behind the Yak Shack and put in parking there.
I think that's
So there'll be a lot more parking added, even if we're taking out these spots. So what our hope is that by adding parking down there, that it'll force the people that kind of canoe and kayak, you know, at least go in the parking lot in front of ice cream that they'll go down there.
Kind of, right,
And go down by Jeff's place more. Mm-hmm. But we can always look at those options, Gene.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is
technically
long term kind of thinking.
The lot behind Rowdy's, that's city property, that's city parking.
Oh, it is.
Some of that is.
Oh, okay.
And then the lot right in front of Upper Crest Catering is city parking.
Oh, okay. Between there and the street.
Yes. Okay. And then, I mean, people can always park down at the recreation building, that's city.
Yeah.
And we're hoping to pave what we own. If you come by the rec building, it's all gravel on the east side. There is a easement that we own.
Right.
That we're hoping to pave that this summer. And then we have the parking lot on the north side of the train tracks right from the rec building. Mm-hmm.
Well, where I'm coming from, when I...
Just the little strip there, yes.
When I've got my dreamer's hat on and I look at this land, I say that in the long term, this is some of the most valuable real estate in Yorkville, okay? And in a way, it's kind of a shame to be parking cars on as opposed to having it dedicated to a higher level use. And again, I realize I'm thinking long term, but that's when
Which
I look at...
Are you talking about our side or the other side?
Well, I'm just saying, in an ideal world, you wouldn't be using any of this beautiful riverfront for parking, okay?
But then no one's going to go there. I mean, how are
we... No, you park across the street and you walk over.
If that's going to be there and they're not going to build buildings there.
I preface this by saying this isn't a dream thing. When I look at the value of this land,
it's
much more valuable than being used as parking. Mm-hmm. When I go to visit Old Faithful, they don't have a parking lot around Old Faithful.
If it's going to stay that way, I got a funny feeling there's something.
But we did have to park something.
Oh, I'm not saying I have solutions. I'm just have
exactly. I just think they're preamble that. I think the issue with the horns is going something to do with it too. You know, if they're going to build a building there and they want to go to a quiet zone because you're not going to live there when the train is going past you, obviously someone's going to go there.
Well, when you look at places like St. Charles or whatever that have all their shops, everything right on the river, and they've got their restaurants. There's a parking garage and it's stacked, and so people can park.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
We literally, like, when we have anything going on downtown, there's nowhere for people to park.
And I understand.
You have a damn train going right through there, so you can't.
Just waiting for somebody to get.
Yeah, I understand that too. And this parking lot next to Foxy has been very busy with the barbecue place going in.
Sure.
I see all that too.
Yep.
So, I'm just you know.
It's busy when you have a lot of kayaks, you have a lot of school trips.
Yeah.
It's definitely a busy lot that's not big enough for the needs. And
yeah.
So, I mean, we're adding more.
Yeah.
But we're also limited in what we own.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so we're still wait and see.
Yeah, so we'll do more testing on Riverfront, and then Bristol Bay, you'll start to see a lot more development out there. And you actually will start seeing the sports complex.
I was going to ask you, is that building going to be built out there too? I don't know, you've been sold land.
Yes, she just finalized financing. She just got to build it. That took a little longer than she expected. And then they're going to have to submit some final plans to the city for approval. But she should be, I think she's hoping to be up in October.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right.
What's the name of the effort, the building or the effort, the company?
I really don't know off the top of my head.
Oh, okay.
I just been calling it a sports zone.
Okay.
But I don't think that's the official name.
All right.
Yeah, what is she? Does she have a name for when she went to the other spot?
I just don't know off the top of my head.
Is it going
to
be built soon?
I think she's going to be built by October. I mean, those places, the winter is a busy time, so she's kind of sad.
Okay,
I think she's hoping October to be up and running.
Yeah,
very nice
over there.
October, November, yes. All right, well, while we're waiting for Scott, we'll move on to new business.
I got one other question about Riverfront. Do we have any insight into the trends in these businesses that are, you know, the Yak Shack, the Foxy's, Ginger and Soul, amount of business they're doing, whether it's trending up or down, number of visits? You know, is there any way that we can have a little pulse on how our Riverfront's events being used?
I can ask them. I
know that the ice cream prices.
I mean, the best information I give you is they pay the bills every month.
So, well, I know, but that was different than
they didn't
ask.
But I'm bringing it up because I don't, you know, that's.
But fine. I mean, I can definitely reach out to them and ask them. I mean, I stay in contact with them all.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to tell. So, I mean, it's like the two new ones.
But if you're happy, I mean, I know Robin's worked with us on a lot of things. Kate, who is the owner of Ginger and Soul, has just reached out to us about how can we collaborate on weddings, that she's getting a lot of requests.
Right, right.
So I can talk to them.
I'm just raising it to so in a partnership with them, we can look for ways to bring more people down. That's another reason to come to the Riverfront. Go to Ginger and Soul, have a beautiful meal. Have a great treat at Foxy's. Go try the tube down the chute.
Yes.
And just, you know.
I mean, we collaborate on a lot of stuff. I mean, yeah. We work with Robin on a lot of events. Let her know what's going on.
Yeah.
Jeff is... Obviously, I mean, we highlight them on our website. We highlight him on our catalog.
Right.
We have Canoeacopia that's coming up in a month.
The one in Madison?
Yes, he's attending with us to that. He came last year. He did very well. He was very happy with
I'd like to attend that with you. Would you make sure or give me the date for that?
Yes. I can link up with you. March 10th and 11th.
Okay.
10th, 11th, and 12th.
When are you guys driving up for the day and back, or what do you do?
Probably I'm not going because that's going to be close to my due date or my wife's due date.
What's more important, your family or your job?
Come on.
So I probably won't go. So I probably won't go. Shane and Scott are going up on Friday, and then they're helping set up. And they're
we have a booth there to promote the March Hunt. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's like a convention expo.
Yeah.
And then Jeff is going. There are some city employees are going on Friday. Our city intern is going.
I'll just connect with Shane and Scott and see if I can.
But if you want to go and spend the night, I'll get a hotel for you.
Okay.
If you're going to be a part of the booth.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're going on your own just to...
No. I'm going there because I think that's a good place
to go. If anybody else wants to go.
It's a giant event from everything I've been told.
It's unique.
It's
large. Yeah, it's very large. I mean, you have a whole section just with canoes, kayaks, and you have a whole other section with camping.
But it's not like a performing place either.
Yeah. No,
it's,
no.
It's a very unique
experience. I was there the other night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. But if you're interested, we can talk about it after the fact.
Okay.
I was a volunteer for the whole time.
Okay. I watched that television.
I know. It wasn't the same.
And it's a 3-day event?
Yes. I mean, if you're in either Saturday or Sunday, you can use more help in those days.
Yeah, well, that's what I could do. Sure.
I can at least at the time I can introduce you to Jeff so that you know who he is. I know he would appreciate some help just sometimes when he has to go to the bathroom or get something to eat.
Sure.
But he stays all 3 days.
Okay.
It's great to have him there because he really talks about the shoot, the river level.
Sure.
He can answer all these questions and we just don't know that well.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, okay. I'll follow up with you. Thank you.
All right. Can we go back in? We were waiting on you to talk about. We were waiting on
you. Did you win?
Both went into overtime the first
10 minutes.
First game.
That's good.
All
right. So the recreation program facility discussion.
Okay. Great. Thank you for waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So I know last time we had drawings. We do have some additional drawings that I just happened to get in the packet, but I can hand them out here to everybody. I'm going to pass those on.
There were some in the packet, but weren't there 10? Wasn't there one?
There wasn't any this time.
Wait, let's see it.
Right side up.
So, in the packet are on the front page is this kind of a drawing that Scott did to kind of give an example of what potentially, if we wanted to do one connected to Beecher.
It's a scale of drawing, I'll just so you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, proportionately, it's scale.
So, that one is, we'll give you an idea of just, of a room that him and I kind of talked about that we think would come in at $250,000, $300,000.
And you guys saw the blueprints for this, that particular footprint in a previous
Yeah, week. So that was kind of the one that had been submitted before the standalone. This is more where it would be connected to the Beecher building. I know that's one of the requests that I've been asked from the city administrators to look at options connected to the Beecher Center, just because there's going to have to be a lot of work done with that, and this would be a good, he thinks, collaboration.
Be physically connected?
Yeah, just he thinks it would be a good collaboration between us and
the building.
Missing
the building. Oh, that's me. So this is the one that is there. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Like, so that's Beecher. That's awesome. That's Perkins' room. That's the daily room. That's the Austin room.
Okay, so,
that's,
so this is the... So
that's,
like
that's the big room.
Next to the room. Oh, okay. Where... I don't understand how that fits into where the road is. The road's still right here?
Yeah. Yeah, the road's actually probably over here.
Beecher Drive is right here. So as you come in for like hometown days,
right?
So yeah, you get a little bit of distance yet. You get the whole grass area kind of still.
So this is Game Farm over here.
Yeah. So, yep. The so that's just
and this is existing parking. You're just taking some of it out.
Okay. That's just basically the designs we looked at before that were standalone, and this would be just more connected to the Beecher on the west side, in between the Beecher Center and the Game Farm Road. The next drawing is kind of Dan and Jerry Eaglehart have worked on.
More Jerry Eaglehart.
Yeah. So this would be one he initially gave us a drawing, and I kind of wrote on it where it would be not the roof would be connected, but there would be a walkway, so you kind of see where Beecher's at. Mm-hmm. Game Farm Road, the library, and the Beecher Park. So this would take the parking lot to the south. That is on this map. Now, I know, you know, you could move this and go back to where Scott has it and take on.
And there are some unknowns in that. There's a water main that is under the parking lot over there. I'm not sure if that comes into play. I'd have to measure it.
But this gives you an idea of something that we think would come in like $500,000 to where you would have two rooms, a gym, you know, obviously restrooms, potentially maybe some minor office space in there.
And roughly, that footprint is about the same size as the Beecher Center itself, roughly.
Yes.
Just so if you're trying to figure out, oh, how big is this building, that's roughly about how big it is.
The next one is just a set of drawings where it's bigger, and you kind of, I wrote on there where it says 500,000, the next one would be kind of 750,000, somewhere in there. I mean, we haven't really met with an architect to actually get all the numbers. But it's obviously just giving you an example of something bigger, with more storage, bigger rooms, two gyms, you know, one being a bigger gym, one being a smaller gym. Yeah. And then you got a third one, which is obviously would probably be, you know, the ideal situation, which would be closer to $1 million to where you'd have two large gyms, bigger rooms, bigger offices, things of that nature. So... that's kind of, I mean, I just want to make, let you guys know, I mean, we're still, I know Dan's come in with Jerry Eaglehart, who's somebody who's had some expertise in doing this and bringing a lot of designs to us. Scott and I have been working on some designs. I know one thing Scott and I talked about is, I mean, I think, you know, from my standpoint, is like the board, I think we need to get a financial, like, where do we want, where are we at? We know we have $250,000. We know that's probably not... exactly the kind of what we want. We'd like to build something bigger. I know Joel sat in meetings and indicated he'd like to see something bigger and maybe to see if City Council gives some money. I mean, I do think like this board, we probably need to make a recommendation to City Council. You know, how much money are we really looking for? I think it would help Scott and I to have a little bit to be able to get like take a recommendation from here, go to City Council, see if they say yes or no, but get an idea of what we're dealing with, because we're kind of just throwing things up against the wall, and we're like, well, we don't, you know, we're working with 250, and then we're getting kind of like, well, look at this. We really need like a number to be able to kind of settle in to where then we can say, okay, do we look at a standalone? Do we look at something connected to Beecher? Do we look at even going around properties that may be available?
Already existing.
You know, yeah. Where you could get, could you go in and buy something like the parks building here, you know, if... and build and just buy something that would be somewhat ready to go. I think we need a number. You know, my personal recommendation here would be able to say, I think we should ask City Council, can they match the 250? And to see and to make a recommendation to them and to just see what the response would be. And I think then if they're favorable to that, if they're not favorable to that, it gives us an idea at least where we're at. And I think it would allow Scott and I then to really kind of zero in on where we need to go.
I'm sure you too would be a voice note too.
Yeah, but it just makes it difficult when we know we got that kind of money. It's probably not getting exactly what we want. People don't seem happy with just the original drawing Scott has, where it's just a room. But if we want to go bigger, we're going to have to ask City Council for more money.
Sure.
So I don't know if anyone has any feelings on that, or should we be asking for more, for less?
Is this standalone one the original proposal?
That was the original one that we had
worked. That we could potentially build
for around
add two. Onto?
That one is, yeah, yes.
That's expandable. I will say, attaching to Beecher, that limits you. Would limit you to be able to put
it
up.
We were looking at the field across from Beecher.
Essentially, we were looking at putting it out there, kind of back behind the football field. Mm-hmm. And then you could put, literally, expansion could, you have enough land there, you would never be hamstringed by expansion there.
Okay. And that was, we were looking at doing that for the 250.
Correct. 250, 300,000 by the time everything was done. But obviously, out of the gate, that doesn't get us. Like,
but I think we were talking within our budget is really what
yes.
we're talking about.
That was more one in our budget.
Not getting money, additional money from city council.
So, what was the end budget for our fiscal year of 2016? Was there a surplus in the city budget?
Well,
city or park and rec?
City. So, if they were going to match, like,
yes.
if they come back.
I don't know the number, but yes, I know the last few years.
Like, there was, for them to say, we have a deficit, there's no way we can do it. You know, is it even something that we could go and say?
I mean, my personal opinion is, I think it's at least realistic and at least to have a discussion to say, will you match the 250?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. I think beyond that, we're probably being a little greedy. They may say on their own, let's go bigger. But I think to be able to just at least ask mm-hmm. to say, will you match this number, I think at least is a good starting point to be able to ask for that. And I think showing them, and which I would, is like you would get a gym. My feeling just discussions when I went to the goal setting is I think a gym would be a minimum that they would really like to see. Right.
But there's no gym in this with the Beecher.
Well, yeah, there would be one.
There is.
I mean, we don't have exact numbers. I put 500,000 in the corner, which is the one.
Oh, 500.
Yeah. That would be the small building that we would build right here. Is it a regulation gym? I don't think it is.
No, it's not.
It's a little bit playable. You small. Could play hoops in there. You yep. could play volleyball. The yep. square or the rectangle and the rectangle is volleyball court, so it's plenty large enough mm-hmm. for that. You could play basketball, and you could play younger kids basketball playing both ways
right.
this way.
Right.
But you classes. Couldn't have, like, a league, basketball league.
You could.
I mean,
you
should. Or fourth
and yeah. five. And that's probably not, like, our largest issue. I mean, our school district relations going well. We're using the gyms there. It's not like that's ever going to go away. Mm-hmm. I think the issue would be just to be able to have a gym. Open gyms,
yeah.
adult pickup basketball.
Yeah.
Yes, you could schedule things there. I don't know how much I would even want to schedule anything there as long as we got the school gyms. It's just because I wouldn't want to take away that flexibility for other stuff like volleyball. Things that, like, we're maxed out in schools that maybe we want to add some other things. I definitely think just from my experience leaving the rec center, just having an open gym is huge. I mean, I know a lot of people, parents have come and talked to us about it. Just not having that anymore for where a kid gets out of school and they can come and just play hoops for $3-4.
The school is right there.
I think that's a huge missing component for us is to have that.
But I think we could look at a building like this side. Let's say the board said, okay, we would like to have them match our funds. We have $500,000. I think then we could start looking more serious at, okay, what would this building footprint look like?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Would it make sense to make that, maybe make one larger room and expand that mm-hmm. into a little bit larger of a basketball court so you could use mm-hmm. both ways? Mm-hmm. You know, but it would at least allow us to answer some of those questions, to look at some of those things, what's the cost involved to make it go up, this, you know, that sort of thing. But I think it would give direction to us to know which direction we should be looking.
As far as building, Beecher is the best site?
No, not necessarily. We own 22 acres, I believe, there. We've been asked to look at all possibilities. So attaching to the Beecher, the difficult thing about directly attaching to the Beecher is that the roof lines are all over the place. And to attach directly to it to where you could have like a door just between the two, it would be difficult because, number one, it's a very old building, but it's got a hip roof on one side, it's got a gable roof on the other. It's kind of all, it's not like a house where your roof line is one way in the front, one way in the back.
Yeah.
On each side, it has different roof lines, so it'd be very hard to connect wall to wall to.
I think there's an interest in
these. Which doesn't even make sense.
Well, I think there's an interest from,
concern people on connecting to Beecher's. One, obviously, it has to be almost gutted out.
Yeah, you can.
The entire kitchen, the roof has to be redone, the HVAC system has to be
done. What's their philosophy of having it attached?
But then there's that.
Well, I think it's just because then it would be presented as one
building.
Here it is, and it would be, we're doing this, we're adding this, we're doing the roof, we're doing this, and it's one project. And there's that. And I think also having it connected
is going to be more than $500. But
oh, yeah.
It's something Beecher, yes.
Yes,
yes. So I don't even know why we even keep talking about Beecher, but I don't think it's just...
And then there's also, it's just, it's us... Well, no, but when the thought is okay, $500,000 would go to your project, $1 million would go to Beecher, then maybe putting this out, A, you'd save money, and two, you could do it as one project and get, you would connect and get everything done as one.
And there may be some, and you know, I'll be honest, you know, I'm not wild about the idea, but there may be some benefits, some hidden benefits to that, just because you'd have one contractor doing both.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And then you'd also have accessibility where you could do some more collaboration with the senior services, where then the gym would be available to them during the day.
And potentially we get a presence in the Beecher Center then, too.
So, I definitely think it was... There's going to be people that ask us to at least look into it. I mean, that's...
People meaning...
Well, I just think city council members...
The seniors?
No.
I don't see that happening.
Okay.
I think city council...
But that's my point. If we're going down that road, perhaps we should include them even... What if they said, we don't want that. We don't want young kids around. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe they do. But I think before you start really going down...
But I mean, that's a city building. I mean, if they want
to... We're renting that building to them.
But we're not kicking them out. So they're still part of it.
No, yes. But they're lucky they have that building.
No, they're not lucky to have that building. That's their space. And at this point, unless we're thinking of moving them out... I think they should be included in that conversation. I'm just saying, before you start really going down that...
That's if we're going to go on cash. That's why I'm saying, I think right now, like, I think we need to ask for a certain amount of money.
Right.
Well, I don't have a problem doing that.
I think we should ask for money, and then that gives us, we can come
I think if we have a certain amount of money, it is not, I think, out of the realm of possibility to say, would you guys match this? Or what would be the percentage of matching it?
And from there, I think we can bring back other possibilities, whether attached to...
Once we know how much money we have.
You know,
right.
And I think to know, does this board feel it's important to be able to have this facility that we would maybe build and be expandable? Because if it is, I think that answers some of our questions, too. But again, I don't think we're at that point of the conversation yet. I think first we need to find out, okay, what is the true number?
Sure.
Right. I think that's their space. I think it would be awesome to be able to get it fixed. We had an opportunity at one point to get Beecher fixed. That was out of our hands. That was in the city council. I think when we're looking at this facility to be Parks and Rec, I like the location in that area because you're getting it near, you know, where
schools,
everything is, the schools, our library. It's like a campus. It's like a recreational campus. I like that idea. I don't necessarily think that it's... With that, if we had lots of money, yes, I could see, let's do it. Let's fix it for them. Let's get us something, have it all be under one roof. But at the same time, what is feasible? And that's why we were looking at starting small and able to expand. So, you know, like you said, let's not get greedy, but, you know, you don't know until you ask.
Correct. So, and that's where I feel like we're at. And the Beecher thing is I've just been asked.
But I think they should be included. I just think they should be included on that. Because, you hear from seniors all the time, like, we love our space. You know, yes, that space does need to be fixed up, but at the same time, would they give up having their space just to get it new?
I don't think anyone's talking about.
They're not getting
their space.
Nobody.
No, but you know what I'm saying, just to have that area there.
I mean, parking's going to have to change, obviously, because they're taking the parking lot. So they walk in the other side of the building.
Yeah. And that's a cost thing to think about, too. That's a cost thing to think about,
too. Absolutely.
Any of these things would never be taking away their space.
I'm just saying there's more activities, there's more youth, there's more, it's not as exclusive to their age group, etc. I've been around these places, and they're very territorial.
We're running 3-4.
It's not bad. It just is.
We don't want has a YMCA right next door. They have a YMCA, and they have a school behind it, right over in Washington.
Yeah, I mean that's there.
They got kids. They got buses. They got a school in the building. You walk outside the building, and inside that building, there's a school.
Well, it's the Y. It's not
a school.
No, it's a school. It's not a school anymore, any longer. It hasn't been.
There's a school behind it, yes.
Okay. At any rate, Dan, I think if everybody would agree that, yes, there's not an issue with asking, you know, what city council would even be.
Are you guys in favor of voting and making a recommendation? Let's ask for double, or at least a match.
To ask for
City council to match the 250.
Absolutely.
And it's not on a whim. You know, I think we've given it a lot
of thought. I need some help with the plan.
Is that a recommendation you guys feel comfortable making, or...
I think so. I mean, we had the 250. If we knew we had something else, then we would look at different plans.
I mean, that plan, I mean, it sounds like it would meet the programming needs that we talked about a few meetings ago.
Sure. Okay. Yes. Okay. And I'll be honest. I mean, going big out of the gate, it does make me a little nervous. Can we pay for it? I mean, we get something with two gyms and this and that. All of a sudden, now electric bills are coming in and things like that. This is what happened at the rec center. Is
you got to staff it?
Yeah, correct. You know, I mean, you're talking about a bare bone staff. You're talking about we need a new employee to help manage this place, things of that nature.
Sometimes you got to do that to make money. This is a service to the community. Do we worry about the police cars or the fire? I mean, we have a mobile car. I mean, you got to put money for the community. People are not going to come in here if there's no recreation for the kids. They're not going to.
Well, I would venture a guess and say the 152 new permits are all single family. You know.
They're going to use it.
Yeah.
Sure. If it's not here, they're not going to use it.
Or they're going to go somewhere else and find it.
Then they do right now. They go all their people go to...
Oswego,
or to what's the other call? The other park district?
Fox Valley Park District.
They want to go to Fox Valley. It's there. We don't have anything here.
So we'd like to put something on the table, Amy?
Sure. Does anybody want to make a motion to make a recommendation to City Council to match funds for our $250,000 towards the recreation program facility?
I make that motion.
You have a second?
I'll second.
Absolutely.
All right, and I'll do a roll call vote just so we know. Amy Sessage, yes. Dan Lane?
Yep.
Gene Wilbur?
Yes.
Sash Demonovic?
Yes.
Okay. So motion carries, please extend our...
I will talk to the city administrator about it tomorrow, and then hopefully the next one in January or the first one in February. I'll put it on the city council agenda.
Next meeting is what?
There's one in January. There's another one in January. And then there's either the first one, the last one in January or the first one in February.
And this motion is a commitment to funding, not necessarily location. Right?
Well, he's
right. This is just right. Making a recommendation to city council that they match our funds. Right.
So is it the 24th? That's the last Tuesday?
Yes.
Or it's not the last Tuesday. It's not the 31st.
It's the fourth Tuesday in January.
1, 2, 3. Yep, it's the 24th. Okay. I'll try to be there, too. So.
That would be great.
Hey, email us.
Yes. If I get on the agenda,
I'll let you know. There might be more important.
It's
more
different than me.
Yes.
Second. You know what you got? I was thinking about yesterday that, my daughter was in bank. And Lester and Bank just did the bond issue in Lombard. They're putting a new facility up. $11.5 million.
Just so you have a bond for that, don't
we? They have bonds.
I can't imagine we have the bond for this. I hope we don't.
It was $8.5 million bond for Westerland.
That's small.
That was a lot of money.
It's usually like $5 million.
They're borrowing $8.5 million.
All right, on to new business, baseball field usage agreements every couple of years. Is it every year?
This is every year. So this is pretty much similar to last year. We'll be running the...
Just go through the changes.
There's really...
If there's any.
There's really no changes.
Okay.
This is pretty much the same as last year.
Because that's what I was looking for.
The big thing, as we did last year, was obviously we weren't maintaining the fields every single day. We're going to be doing that again this year.
And how did that work?
How did that work out? Are they complaining about it or anything? Was it okay? Or did you think that they kept it up to our standards? Like, we're going to check it out on those and everything?
There were some issues, but I think that they got addressed. I think it was a little eye-opening for them as well. I think maybe they
didn't realize
there was a serious amount of money going into these fields and time. Overall, I think they scrambled to start with, but I think they found their feet and did okay. I mean, they bought some equipment and had some manpower out there. And I think they did inquire whether we were going to put some additional clay and turf on the fields, and I said it's not in our budget. We're not going to because we collected no funds.
You think they'll put the money into it to do it?
Well, if they don't, I mean, I think it's just going to create more additional maintenance for them if they don't. Are they doing the same maintenance we are? Absolutely not. They're not blowing lips, they're not doing those things, but...
Are they going to get so bad that at some point we'll be, kicking ourselves for...
Time will tell. time will tell, but you know, I don't want to judge a book, you know,
so can we,
in the first chapter.
Can we do it one more year and then really sit down and you guys really look at the fields? Because do we want to, because we're going to go backwards again like we did.
We can, I think, absolutely, we can. I think the issue is it's going to be in their best interest to do that. And I will say they have done some good things. They've painted some of the dugouts and done some decent maintenance. So I don't want it to sound like I'm not in favor of that. I don't want it to sound like I don't think that they didn't do a good job. So I think overall, I think they did.
There were some benefits. I mean, it definitely took a lot off the staff when it came to rain and things of that nature in the weekends.
Oh, for sure.
And not having to, you know, basically have them calling us and upset with us because we said the fields weren't playable, or you're trying to get Bridge going because you don't care about ours because you're worried about your tournament and things of that nature. That was a huge benefit to us, you know, that those issues were kind of put under them to say if you didn't maintain your field throughout the week and the weeks for rain came, they're not going to be in great shape.
If I had to guess, I would say it probably created a little bit more of an inner strife for them, because you now had people who were maybe on fields that weren't as well maintained as other fields, and maybe they're wondering why.
So what were our fields when we were maintaining? How much were we charging?
It was a flat fee.
It was like $10 a practice and like $20 a game.
It ended up being maybe $12,000.
Probably total for everybody's fees.
For everyone.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
$12,000 to $15,000 for.
And I mean, just for reference, a load of clay on a field is $600, and you got 19 fields. You know, and a load of clay on it is probably a minimum of weight.
So, with their possible issues that maybe they were having those, you know, sort of inner things going on, were they okay with going forward with doing the same that we had this past year? So.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I mean,
you know, I say by next year we really look at that again. And
I mean, the issue is going to be is Scott's still down two guys. He's got one from just last year when we lost three, and he's still down one from when we did layoffs 6, 7, 8 years ago.
I will say,
so, I mean, just to continue to maintain this, even then at some point, it's going to have to be above our level here, making a rather saying we want to take the field back, we need another employee to do that. I mean, with, you know, all that's going on, I mean, to throw it back on his plate, I mean, I know how this is going to go, that it's like, well, he doesn't have enough staff to maintain everything that's going on in the summer, assisting with special events, doing parks, playgrounds, and then putting this back on his plate without having at least a minimum that employee brought back.
Well, I think we had some frank conversations with them. You know, when they said, are you going to put clay in surface? I said, no, we're not planning on doing that. And I think when we brought some maintenance issues to the light for them, they addressed them.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what? I think they were, I mean...
But not to our standards of what we would have
done. No, they did, yeah. I mean, like, when we, you know, they had a couple of fields that they weren't using regularly that got some weed cover. They went out and addressed it and took care of it.
They're not professionals. I mean, our park staff, I mean, they're professionals, so they're always going to have a keener eye. But it doesn't mean that, like, the work that they're doing, I mean, they're doing the best of their ability and it works.
I tell you what, they drag the fields every day. Overall, they did okay. I think, you know, they're going to need to put some clay and surface into these fields. And we could certainly, Amy, after the season next year, go and evaluate them, write up something, and show the board, say, here's what we think should be happening. And get it to them too as well. But again, I think if they're not doing those things, ultimately they're really just hurting themselves. Because they're going to be, whether we're running them or they're running them, if we don't have the money to go and dump 5 loads of clay on every field to bring these up, they're only going to hurt themselves in the long run. We're going to do the best we can, but that's what we'll do, is the best we can with what we have. Whether it's us or them.
All right.
Did I read that right in here somewhere that injuries need to be reported to the city if they have any injuries on the fields?
We don't.
Okay. They do their own registration waivers?
Yes.
Yeah. Is language for the city included?
Hold on. They submit insurance to us, so, I mean, they have insurance.
Did you see their liability?
Right, but, you know, in their... in the registration form, is there any language specifically shifting risk away from the city?
I don't really look at the forms. I mean, basically, I work with the insurance agent on what he requires from each group.
Okay.
And he,
our
city insurance agent contacts this department. He works out and says, you guys are good.
Okay.
So, I mean, I've always every year worked with our city, and he asks for specific things to make sure that we're covered. In case there would be any issues on our fields.
I can look into that and see. We can look into that.
But we can look into it. I can ask our city attorney if there's any issues.
Yeah. Maybe we should just see one of their things to hand out to their teams. You know.
I mean, they're available.
They're probably online. Or
yes, so we can get up.
It's interesting.
Do know what I mean? Like bridge, we'll be maintaining that all the time. Mm-hmm. If there are fields when we have baseball tournaments, like Cannon Law, Rotary, we'll be maintaining those. When we have stuff going on and things of that nature. Bridge, though, no matter what, we'll be doing every single day. Mm-hmm. We do not want them bringing their equipment or touching our fields out there, obviously.
Correct. Even if they have games out there, we still...
Even if it's another field, we always maintain
that. Because that's where we run our programs.
We do stuff if we have Cannonball, Rotary, those are becoming, you know, Cannonball with defense, we use that quite a bit. It's Rotary because it's close to Bridge, we use that quite a bit. We'll be maintaining those fields too when we have stuff going on.
And we did add clay to those fields this year out of Bridge, just so you guys know.
And they are doing some, did I hear that right, some applications or spraying out there from time to time?
Also them.
Them.
I have not seen it, but I'm guessing that they have done some spot herbicide applications on the infields for weed control.
Yeah.
Because if you don't drag them, I'm guessing I have not seen them do it.
Okay.
But I'm guessing it is happening. But I will say that that's nothing out of the ordinary. We've done that in the past. We don't like to blanket spray our infields if we can help it.
Yeah.
We spot spray rather, but just dragging them regularly is really the best way to keep weeds out. And we've told them that. And they, you know, and by and large, they are doing that.
From staff, I mean, we require an applicator's license for...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're kind of...
Our guys are licensed.
Doing what they need to, the association, the group.
I can dig into deeper into that, because we can dig into that too, so it's just to see.
Don't want them spraying, like, when there's, a family in the bleachers, and,
Well, they should post when they do.
Yeah, exactly.
So we can find that out and say, hey, who's doing your applications? It needs to be someone licensed.
Okay. And I mean, I didn't see that as a requirement, but I just want to... make sure it's safe.
Yep. No, I agree with you 100%. We can look into that. Good question.
Anything else? We need to take a vote on this tonight, or?
Yeah, that would be great. Unless you
want
to
submit some of that. Well, unless anything else. I'm fine with it.
Scott is, watching over it, and you're telling him if they need some more work or whatever, and you're watching over it, and you think it's good, it's saving us money, we can't do it, I think we should stay with it. Everybody's happy. I haven't heard any complaints, because my granddaughters play out there, and my wife's son plays out there, and
it's in their best interest to do a good job. I mean, and as Tim mentioned, if we were to take them back on, we would have to have more personnel.
Exactly. Yeah, we just can't do it now. I think it's good.
Okay.
Do we want to, want to make a motion to approve the 2017 then?
Yes.
Youth baseball field usage agreement.
I move to approve the 2017 youth baseball field usage agreement as presented.
Okay.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No opposed. It passes. And moving right along. Parks lawnmower purchase.
Scott's at a point where he needs this lawnmower to close things in the summer. He can probably explain that a little bit more. Just on my end, this is something that at the beginning of the year, he and I started to realize, just like the playground last year, that we were going to need to buy this year for this upcoming summer. And so we've been monitoring the budget. I'm comfortable enough where we're at right now to think a purchase of this nature that wasn't budgeted for that we can afford. We're anticipating more of a $60,000 deficit instead of the $142,000, so there's about an $82,000 difference there right now. Which this would easily fall under there. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we would definitely like to get your recommendation to take to City Council. Not only is it deficit spending, but it's also over $20,000 that we need your guys' approval. It is a state purchase, so we don't need to do an RFP. We'll buy it directly from the state through their state purchasing program.
Is this the best one we can buy? Is it good? I mean...
So we have two other ones. The issue is the one we have that's, I think, it's either 10 or 12 years old. Right.
They do last. They're good.
I mean, 10 years old. I mean, that is old for a mower.
Because you've probably replaced and repaired and...
We have, and, you know, we were chasing some issues with it this year, with it overheating, we were chasing some hydraulic issues, and it gets to the point to where, you know, after you drop $3,000 to $5,000 into it, and you haven't solved the problem...
It's not worth it.
And you're like, I could drop another $10,000 or $15,000 into this mower, is that a smart decision?
So do we get any money for the old one, for scrap, or...?
No, you know what we're going to do, we're going to keep it, and... Because, believe it or not, you don't get a lot of money trading these things in. But you get flat tires, you get parts that break. And I think we're going to keep it and just take parts off of it. Because we have two of them currently. We have one, I believe, that's 10 or 12 years old, and we have one that's 8 years old. So this conversation will be happening again in a few more years.
Yeah. Are they typically $53,000? I mean, like, what?
They're more expensive than that. And honestly, when you start looking at other brands, I mean, you could spend a lot of money on a lawnmower. It's crazy.
You could buy a new Cadillac.
Yeah, you could. You could buy a new vehicle to drive that Escalade. But, so we want to keep the other one to use it for parts, because I just feel like if we sold it for $1,000 or $2,000, you know, the wheels alone, if we have to replace a wheel or a tire, are $200-$300. So I think we're better off keeping this thing for...
Is there a maintenance on this or something, like guarantee for so long? Is it like a...
Yeah, it comes with a warranty. You get at least a 2-year, depending on how many hours you get. Yeah. But again, I think it wouldn't make a lot of sense in my mind to trade the other one in from the standpoint. I think there's valuable parts on there. There's more than $2,000 worth of parts on there that we would be able to utilize for the other one and keep that one, and hopefully going for another, 3 years. This is a large mower. I mean, just so you know, it's 11 feet wide. And this one did go down on us midsummer, and it's really worked our 72-inch zero turns hard to keep up. We would run the larger one, and it was overheating within an hour. Mm-hmm. And we'd have to shut it down. We took it into the company, had it repaired a couple of times, and we weren't getting the problem solved. We had our in-house guy who knows a little bit about hydraulics come in, and we did some other repairs, and we could not get it diagnosed, could not figure it out, and I just didn't think it was worth spending, additional money chasing it for a 12-year-old mower.
Is this one brand new then? It's never been used, or is it a couple years old?
It'll be brand new.
Okay.
And it's just like when we buy trucks, it's the state of Illinois goes out and negotiates these contracts where they say, hey, we're looking for X, Y, and Z items, and I mean, the list is long. Yeah, I mean, you could buy Aspen for the state bid. So, what they do is they negotiate these prices with Ford, Toro, Chevy. There are some John Deere mowers, but not this large. And you get the benefit of them negotiating you a price that you could not go out and buy this machine for on your own.
Mm. All right.
How many mobile acres do we have?
About 250.
I know where I am for this. I'm supportive. I'm just... Have we ever done contracted services for any mower?
We have. It's been a long time. You know, part of the difficulty we run into is for minimum wage.
Yeah.
That's part of the difficulty you run into. And we've actually... It's been a number of years where we've looked at it. But we've also run into that where the city oversees a couple of HOAs. They are HOAs, but they're SSAs, I think is a better word. Mm-hmm. Where the city contracts the mowing out for those. So we kind of are aware of what some numbers are, but I can tell you the one thing, the difficulty about when you go out and contract mow is you get mowing every 7 days. You don't really get any detail work. You're probably not going to get the quality work that you're going to get from.
It's like many things.
From the city. And I will say, and there are great companies out there. I'm not going to say it, but you're going to spend more.
Yeah.
We contract out True Green.
We do.
To do our spread like that. So, I mean, we do contract out on certain things.
We do. And we definitely keep an eye on that. Sasha, I mean, I've looked at that. But when you start looking at that many acres.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily need to be 100% of the acreage. It could be something, free up the schedule for other projects, tasks.
Things. We've talked, citywide, we've talked about possibly hiring a company to do our boulevards. Or something like that. And a lot of towns actually do that.
Yeah, right.
You know, knock on wood, we've, in the parts of where man managed to shift that burden back to the street department where it belongs. Mm-hmm. So, But in some senses, you're right. It does make sense to do that.
Look at it every once in a while.
Okay. And if you, I mean, I would go and sit and talk with you if you had some experience in that. I'd be glad to.
It's a mixed blessing.
Okay. I mean, you know, kind of
it's so dynamic. It changes. And, you know, like once you get a great company, you're golden. You know, and you get a good schedule. But whenever you start with a new company, there are months of growing pains.
Right.
You know, resident calls.
Yes.
Lots of things.
And we found that with the SSAs that we made exactly that. Yeah. Where, and it just seems like you turn it over every year. It'd be nice to have like a 3-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
But you start with the first year.
Right. Renewal.
To see where it is, yeah.
All right, can I get a motion to approve the new Parks lawnmower for $53,908? I just need a motion. Anyone?
Here. I move to purchase the Parks lawnmower.
Okay, we have a second?
I like cutting grass, so I'll
second.
I like cutting grass.
You know, it's for
yeah, I used to go out cutting grass. I still do.
All right, I'll take roll call. Amy Sesich, yes. Dan Lane.
Yep.
Gene Wilbur.
Yes.
And Sash Demonovic.
Yes.
All right, motion passes. Yak Shack license extension.
So he just contacted me today. So we have a minor issue, and either we can move forward with this now or we can bring it back. He got his insurance rates, and they're much higher than he had expected. He is actually in contact with our insurance agent to review the plans and to figure out what is exactly everything our insurance agent wants. He wants to make sure it's correct and it protects us, but also help him out if there are some things that they can adjust. If it comes in and he has to stay at that level, I know that he's then going to, or he's already asked me about adjusting his rent, which I'm comfortable with, just because, I mean, we are asking right now, he's paying more than what we're asking Foxy's Ice Cream or Ginger and Soul, that, you know, I don't think that's unrealistic to put him more in line with what they're paying.
What's his rent now?
So it's $500 a month.
I see that, yeah.
Which he was fine with, and then he got his insurance rates, and he was like, wait, you know.
So can we just table this till the next meeting?
We can table this, yeah. Or you can pass it and say, but we definitely need, we're going to run into, the only issue we would run into is technically his thing ends at the end of March. Now, our city administrator has the authority to negotiate on his own up to a year, an extension. So if we got into a situation where we're not sure where we're at, he's going to have to know where he's at by the end of March because he's going to want to be open.
Sure.
Pretty soon here.
Well, we have a meeting in February, though.
Correct.
How much do we have for taxis? What's that?
I want to say they're at like $250.
$250, I think.
Yeah.
$250. And what's your
one? I think similar.
Similar $250. Yeah.
So you know, I told him my initial reaction was I wasn't against it. I understand if we can help him out a little bit and put him in line with the others.
Yeah, what does he want? $250 also?
He'd probably be looking at $250.
I would rather just discuss it once we know.
I would just think about it, because if we don't, I mean, the issue is if he just gets up and leaves, now we have a huge opening there that, besides money, it's just now you're missing out on a really important business there of community.
But then again, why don't you give it to him for free? Do you know what I'm saying? He's going to ask for it again. I mean, $250.
But I don't think it's unrealistic, because that's what we're charging the others.
Well, but we charge others because of the situation.
Well, they're split, so it's one building split. It's still $500.
And all that, remember that? Right.
Well, I mean, he was dealing with a lot of that, too. I mean, Ginger and Soul came in after
it.
Do we know how much his insurance went up?
Yeah, like $4,000 or $5,000.
Because, I mean, do you have any idea? Was that just the nature of the recreation activity that made it go up? And
I don't know. How he does his business. Okay. I don't know if he's got other things attached to it. I don't know. So okay. I do know our insurance agent is now coordinating with him and working on him on this. So
is that insurance all for what he does at that site?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's other issues. He is in a high active business, so I mean his insurance is going to be higher than Fox's Ice Cream or Ginger and Soul, just because of the nature of the beast. And on top of that, his requirements what we're asking as a city is going to be much higher than what we're going to ask of Foxy's or Ginger and Soul to protect us.
I understand.
So that if somebody got hurt during an inner tube or things like that, you know, and just, you know, you got to look at it also is just happy, even if you said you did or somebody gave them the building for free, we're still making money without having to pay the bills. Like, Tim, once we take a business back, we've got to pay the electric, the heat. I mean, that ends up costing us money also, right out of the Parks and Rec budget. So
if we say it's okay for you to go to him and take it down to 250, you think that's going to be satisfactory?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing is, if you said I can do that, I don't have final say to do it. It still would have to go to city council. I just want to bring it back here if you guys are comfortable saying... You know, you can go down to 250 and then go ahead and take it to city council. I can always bring it back. It's not a big deal.
Can't really vote on that way tonight just because it's not in the packet that way.
So we can bring it back.
I would say that.
So by waiting and we're putting him in a difficult situation, he's getting ready to open his business.
If there's an issue, I'll be bluntly honest. If there was an issue and he says, I have to get the result next week,
okay.
The city administrator, him and I would sit down and knock out a 30-day contract, a 60-day contract. And Bart has the ability to go into a year without having to have approval anywhere. Yeah. We've done that with Robin before where we're working out details. And he's just typed up something. She signed it. He signed it. And we gave him a 30-day extension. Yeah. So we would do that if we had to.
But like any other businessman, he's thinking ahead. He's investing time or effort or money in opening his new season. You know, I don't want to be...
We won't jerk him around. I will make it work with him in the short term. And then the longer term, we would bring him back here.
Okay.
You're going to have to convince me to cut it down half.
You think we should charge him?
And I think that's a good discussion to have with Deb here and, you know, and Mark.
I can't say yes.
You're saying take it down to nothing? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm being facetious. And every time they get into some trouble, we have to take it. I mean, it just doesn't seem right.
It's just been years. We've had negotiations with the rent, and Dan's been.
Did we establish those by square foot, or did we just put it out there as a leverage?
Well, what we did was, I mean, initially when I got involved, just to give you a little bit of background, there were two businesses in these buildings, and it didn't go well.
Mm-hmm. Originally, we did do it that way, Lasash. Yeah. With the original people, we did limited square footage pricing, and that's the way it was done. And it just seemed like the state road going through and being redone, and location, location, location.
I mean, we gave them a break on rent for a while.
Especially in the end, as many breaks we get, you still didn't get all the money you were supposed to. These things, it all went not well. The good thing about all these is that we're able, like I said, everyone's paying on top of it. They've been good tenants. They're providing, obviously, something to the community.
They're making money, though, too. It's a business. It's a business.
We'll discuss it for next week. So let's just go ahead and table it. Or for next month.
I will work out the details. See what it says. Yeah. Insurance, you may not ask for it. Just know that.
Right, that's why I'd rather wait, because if we don't have to do it, then it's not a big deal.
I will work it out. We'll bring it in.
Well, that's why we're bored of.
Is his insurance going up because he's doing more business? I mean, there's a lot of reasons. Your
insurance rates are
going up. If that's the case, I don't think that's a big deal. You know, if I double my business,
if
my insurance
is more money and making more business, and it goes up,
that's a good deal.
It'll stay the same. We don't have to. We have even more profits. I mean, it's a business.
Yeah.
If you can't make it, you can't make it. We're to help them and then give it to them for free.
So let's see that February's agenda. Parks and Recreation monthly report.
Yes.
You might go for it. I'll go for it. You've heard some of the stuff before, but we tore out the basketball court and repaved it. This is kind of old because we didn't have it when we did, but just so you know, we had done that, but something you know might not be aware of is we actually put up a nice wood fence down there at the park. At the rec building there for the preschool. Yeah. So it's a little safer, looks a little nicer. We moved the dumpster out into the front parking lot. So it looks a little nicer, a little snazzier.
So is the fence up by the river then, or is it the front?
Yeah,
that's in the back.
You guys can't see the river?
So a ball bounced off it instead of going over the guardrail.
Critters.
It looks 10 times better.
It's way better, yeah. I mean, with the kids, and yeah, it's it's a lot safer, and nothing's protruding out, and I mean, we'd have to kind of keep them away from things.
And we moved all the sheds on.
It's just overall, it's just
okay.
We left one small shed for a rec. They have their tricycles and stuff in there, but the rest of it's cleared out, so it's much more open and inviting.
Yeah. It gives us a lot more space for, like,
and I like the paint job. Like looks that. Great. That, it's really inviting. I was in there yesterday using the bathroom. And it really looks nice.
It's like a rest stop.
It really was. The first impressions are very nice.
Oh, good.
From being a, you know, from working in a school, it was very, very inviting, very nice, very light, very airy, very nice. So, I mean,
staff did install an ice skating rink at Riverfront. It's gotten some use. And, you know, we've got a, with this rain like it is, that's not helping us, but it's still frozen. So, we're hopefully, you know, the weather will drop back down and we'll get some more people down there utilizing it.
Still a little small.
It is small. We know it is. We're working on that.
I saw a couple people post pictures on Facebook.
Yeah, we are getting some use down there, so we'll see it.
Well, I think
the little ones like it. The little.
Yeah, right.
They're like, oh, this is huge. And to them, it's really big.
the bigger ones do pose some problems as far as trying to resurface and stuff. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily have the equipment to do some of that. And one thing I'm really kind of excited about, you know, with this union, with our guys being union, we really have kind of had some great opportunities to send them down there for some training. They're really learning. A lot of our guys have run our equipment for years. Some of them haven't. But they're going down there. In fact, they're down there even this week learning how to run our paper.
Down where?
It's the union facility training.
The operators
union. Over on 88?
It's like an hour south.
It is way.
Hour south.
Is that Wilmington?
Yes. It is Wilmington. Okay. But I will say, I toured it last year. It's an unbelievable facility. Yeah. It's absolutely massive. They have an indoor arena where they learn how to pave.
Oh,
it's
neat.
Indoor.
Yeah,
it's great. So,
is it safe to do that with the fumes?
Well, I don't think it's heated.
Oh.
So I think they have a way to exchange the air. But, I mean, it is an impressive facility. They have a lot of great classes. They're down there, like I said. They went down there not that long ago for a combination backhoe training, which is nice. We plan on sending them down there. You know, for the next 4 or 5 years, they have welding stuff. I mean, there's so much the stuff that they can go down there and learn and get better at. It's really great.
The staff really liked it. Now, there's guys have gone on their own on the weekends.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then they've been very helpful with us.
We're
improving our safety of creating classes that we've asked them, hey, we need confined space, and they put a program together for us, and we're sending guys down for that. So,
yeah.
Is that expensive or no?
No, I mean, I don't think it costs per guy, but all of our guys, Public Works included, that all the union members are going through for different training based on what they do and stuff.
I think it's good.
It's chamber, and we can send them. Correct, and we can send them to unlimited. Each year, we can send them to unlimited amounts. But we got to be somewhat conscious of how much time they're gone. We actually do need them here to do some work. But it's nice, and they are coming back. You know, better employees. They are coming back charged up, so it's nice. I'm excited about it. So I think that's, you know, it's one of the highlights I really wanted to touch on because it's helping them
really become truly really
professionals.
They're not coming back to one. Oh, we got to
treat like professionals.
They really, really
seem to. That's good.
I mean, it's been one thing across the board with both parks and Public Works. They seem to really enjoy the classes and the facility now.
That's great.
Right.
And then, you know, obviously with the Christmas decorations or the holiday decorations.
You can say Christmas.
Next year, just so you guys know, I mean, our guys put them up, take them down, put them up. It falls on the Parks Department for, it has forever. So, I mean, it is what it is, but. We do plan on, now that all the new lights are installed along 47, it'll have a much different look next year.
Good.
So we'll be doing some work here probably later winter, even summer, putting up some bracketry and things like that. So you'll see a lot of our decorations getting moved to that, I don't want to call it Main Street, but basically those areas. So I think you'll see a much different look next year for that holiday decoration coming through town. It'll be much more noticeable, I think.
Good.
But, overall, I mean, the guys have been keeping things busy here. We're going through all of our mowers right now and doing the full-on maintenance on all our trucks through the safety lane. They have to go every 6 months, oil changes, that sort of stuff. So it gets a little warmer. We get some projects out in our parks. We need to get out there to Wheaton Woods and revamp our trail out there. We need to get into Crawford Park and cut back some invasive species. So we've got plenty of work here to keep us busy, and I'm also working on new goal and focus areas for my staff for the coming year as their new year will start May 1. So we're gonna juggle things up a little bit for some of my staff, and place and create some new schedules that I want to see implemented this year to see how they work for the following. So that's really what's going on today.
I'm going to ask you a stupid question. Do they wear uniforms?
They wear uniforms.
And I don't think they're
our guys do. Yeah, they wear well,
T-shirt type of thing. Or
in the summertime, we provide a shirt for them. In the wintertime, we provide a long sleeve.
Right, right. Shirt. This is the summertime when they're cutting grass. So they have it.
They all have gray shirts with black. It's the same shirt. Like TJ and I wear collared shirts that match their shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they wear a shirt that says Park and Rock on it. And then they have blue pants that they wear. So yeah, they're identifiable. I mean, they do have some oddball shirts that, you know, some green ones from special events. And
but it always never, but they do have some that they know.
Everyone has shirts that's Park and Recreation on it.
You're good.
Yeah, I like that.
Shay?
Couple highlights. Preschool, we started our 2017-2018 registration, so all returning enrollment started in December, and I think at that time we had, I think, about 18 kids, I think, sign up who are currently in it for next year, which is huge. I think that's probably our biggest turnaround we've ever had, just with it being that close. And then it opened, registration started on January 9th, and so we are already up to 25 kids registered for next year. So,
wow.
Yeah.
What age level is this again?
Well, for our preschool, so it's the 3 to 4 year olds. Okay. So we have a 3 year old preschool and a 4 year old preschool. And what's really exciting about that is that the, we have a Tuesday, Thursday morning preschool, so that's our 3 year olds. And that is actually almost full from our kids who were coming in from Ready, Set, Go. So it's really great to see that that was kind of our envisionment of having a feeder program, and now we're really starting to see with that one exploding.
Are they all from Yorkville?
The majority. I know we get some Plano, some Montgomery. Okay. Laney's in it, so Montgomery. I'll represent. I mean, we get a mixture, especially for Ready, Set, Go, because we're pretty much the only ones around here that do a 2 and 3 year old program and let the parents leave. So that's really where that's been great, that we kind of created a niche that's not really available anywhere else. And then because they're liking it and it's very consistent, we're keeping them, and now they're filtering into our preschool program. So that's really great to see that we potentially within the next month will have one whole class full before we really even get into our peak time, which is usually the summer when everyone's thinking about that. So really exciting trend, and hopefully that kind of continues as registration continues for that. Same thing, Ready, Set, Go. We've been a couple kids short of our maximum, and we finally got our last one in. So we have all 40 kids, all 4 classes in, and we actually have wait lists for all those classes as well. So it's really great to see that not only are we filling it, but people are still interested in it too. So those two are just going great, and hopefully we'll just continue as the years go. Basketball, we started practices in December. All went well. We've been working with the school district. We did a whole new key system with them for coaches, so now coaches actually have their own key to access practices every night. Kind of makes the buildings a little more secure on the school end. It actually kind of helps us out too, that the coaches always have access. We don't have to rely on the school and the janitors to get in as well. So new system this year. We're going to kind of see how it's going, and we're communicating with the school district throughout the year as well, just to kind of see how all these new procedures are working. So kind of exciting to see that. And then we have pictures scheduled this Friday for basketball over at Circle Center, and then our first game start this weekend. So the craziness all begins. So our staff will be out there pretty much all day Saturday, every Saturday for the next 10 weeks. And let's see, special events. I have a couple of pictures in there. We actually had a freelance reporter come out and take a ton of amazing pictures. And I believe there are links in there too where I put it in. Of our holiday event. It was great. We had a bunch of great pictures of the fireworks and the kids at the tree lighting with Santa and of the parade. So that was really nice to have a great highlight that was on Kendall County Now. Mm-hmm. And they did even put it in the paper. So that was just kind of a nice nod, just kind of get that kind of press. And also the opportunity, I've talked to the photographer as well, to hopefully use those pictures for future publications as well. So so that was just kind of a new exciting thing that we're excited to kind of build on for next year. And our parade did grow, so hopefully we will continue that trend and get and I talked to all of them afterwards, and they were all really happy with it, so hopefully all of those will come. come back, and then we can just continue to grow that moving forward. And then really right now, we are basically, I am finalizing all the details for 2017 for our special event. So I pretty much have an entire list done. I'm booking bands and just kind of reaching out to all the groups that we use. I was just doing it in a report with Tim. And it was actually really great to see all the different groups that we use throughout the Yorkville community to put on all of our special events. So kind of nice to see that with our limited resources and staff that we have, all the groups that kind of come together to help us support the 25 events that we have throughout the year. And not only does it help us, but it helps them kind of reach their goals as well and outreaching to the community. So just kind of a neat thing as I was reviewing this last year, kind of some things that we've done. So get ready, 2017 will be pretty exciting. So
it's going to be something. Yeah. Thanks, Shane.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, any need for executive session? Session, additional business.
I have a couple of questions. How is our apiary doing?
How's it working?
Right now.
What's did we ever get anybody?
No.
Was it an insurance reason?
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, the apiary is probably not going to help. Right.
I'm sure Joel will be tenacious about it.
I mean, it's overgrown now. It's growing. That entire area there is.
I haven't seen it.
Well, it wouldn't be tough to do. I mean,
I'm just saying. I don't think it didn't go last year.
The bees, I mean, they don't really do anything during the winter anyway.
Yeah, but you got to have insurance. And there's nobody who gives insurance for anything.
Correct.
I asked my insurance guy. He goes, what? Wow. So I don't think that's.
I asked my insurance guy too because I wanted to have one. Impossible.
I mean, we continue to work with the city insurance agent.
He can lobby with the state to try to get that on the books, but yeah.
I was just asking.
But
it's not going to happen.
It's a requirement of the city. It's the city's requirement.
It's all about insurance. I mean, it's all about what liability the city wants to take on.
Correct.
In theory, the city could say, we don't require any insurance.
Right, and then you would see people go in there, I'm sure.
So, of course.
It all comes down to,
I mean, people go in to put their...
You'd have people pay their permit or whatever... to keep beehives there. Yeah. The issue is it's very difficult to get insurance.
Right. Hmm. What about, what are you, new truck you were saying to? Are we looking at that on the line? A new van or something?
Potentially, yes.
Which
we'll see how the budget goes. Yes. So we would probably be looking at a new kind of SUV for the rec side. Mm-hmm. The rec right now has Scotch trucks that they've been using, and then we would get that truck.
That was good.
So if the budget goes, that will be coming back here to the park board for approval.
What about if that new, we don't have day camps here, do we? We don't have day camps, do we?
Yeah.
I was thinking if they made that building over there, the new building, you might even have day camps on it, wouldn't
that's
you?
That's the main plan.
Because you've got the parks there, you've got play. I mean, that would be wonderful.
It would be a great site.
They have a summer camp for the kids. I mean,
Shannon discussed that. We would.
Oh, you have that? Okay, so I think that's a perfect place for it. And these kids now that are going through, they need something to do during the summer months. I think that'd be another source of income, too. Even though you have to have counseling and everything. So.
Right. They're a huge program. I don't know why it has a huge program over there. I think Scott's daughter even does it. That I mean, there is definitely a niche for it. That we would definitely look into that and pretty much do that with the new building.
I think that would be a land office business. I'm telling you, sometime. Good source of money. Mm-hmm. On that, I think you guys done a good job. I really do. The people that you've got. But you keep trying to find fault, which I can't find. You did a great job. I go past the parks. I look up. And again, I like in the summertime, we should go and meet at some of the parks. Mm-hmm. So, to get a feeling. Because some of the parks I still have not gone to.
I think we've mentioned in the past where there was
we've never really done that.
There was a time where we took a Saturday and visited some of the parks. Now, we used to, long ago, we hit every park. We have too many to do in one day. But we could certainly figure out at one meeting which parks we'd like to visit and either take our van or a couple of vehicles and caravans to parks so we could walk them as a group and look at them. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's important to get a real feel of what it's like, and I've never been to all. You and I did a few times, but I...
It
like
is hard to get all of them because I don't think you and I even did all of them.
No, that's a lot when you try and go out. Did we hit them all, Sasha?
We hit about half a corner of town.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I think, over the course of a day.
We need to all write a list of what we haven't seen and try to get everybody, you know what I mean? I think that's probably kind of fair. Like, if everybody writes down, I haven't seen these.
I think it may be good to see maybe what I would call, like, a community park.
Yeah.
A couple of neighborhood parks, and then what I would consider, like, a sub-neighborhood park.
Mm-hmm.
our tile lot. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can see the differences. Mm-hmm.
Even if there's a potential building site or you know, other building, I'm in.
All right, anything else?
Nope.
Motion to adjourn. We have a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.